Casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Man, it's a pretty out there today. Temperature, man, up in the 60s. 67 actually already at Boise City. 62 at Slapout. 46 at the May Ranch, not very far from Slapout. 56 at, what is that, Ceiling? 59 at Butler, 56 at Hollis, 55 at, where is that? Medicine Park, yeah, that's it. Out here in the panhandle of Texas, more of the same. 58 degrees at Lipscomb, 58 degrees at Dozer, 57 at Odell, and Pampa, what are you, 58 degrees. There we got it. Okay, so I made a change to the show with the boss's permission. We're going to move Heyday Tuesdays, brought to you by Great Plains Bank, to Wednesdays from now on. Heyday Wednesday from now on. How's that? So tomorrow will be our first day on Wednesday. I'm sorry, I didn't want to disappoint your hay sellers and hay buyers. Brandon and I get to talking, and man, it just don't have time to do it. So we're going to do it on Wednesdays from now on. So just relax till tomorrow, but I am going to talk a little bit about hay today sometime, maybe. First of all, let's check out what's going on with the Oklahoma Forestry Department. We are under a red flag warning. Roger Mills County, you draw a line over towards Enid, and that way there's just a piece of pie in Oklahoma. Basically, southwestern and central Oklahoma are all under red flag warning today. And what else we got going on? According to the outlook here, hot and dry conditions move in for later this week, and above normal temperatures, below normal rainfall. It's all tending. They have more task force. The Oklahoma Forestry Department has a suppression group, which includes overhead engines, dozers, at Guymon, at Altus, at Woodward, at Guthrie, at Ardmore, all there today. Also, what else we got going on? Oh, we got more burn bans in Oklahoma going on. Cimarron, Texas, counties in Oklahoma Panhandle, Harmon, Greer, Jackson, Tillman, Comanche, Caddo, Grady, Cleveland, McLean, Carter, and Love are all under a countywide burn ban there. Out here in the Texas Panhandle, almost the whole state. Not quite. All the Texas Panhandle, North Texas, I guess, if you want to call it. There's a few counties that doesn't have it. But I'm looking at the state burn ban right now. And the eastern part of Texas, is probably in a few spots out in central Texas, are not under a burn ban for most part. Everybody is. Okay, let's see. What time is it? Let's check this out. Let's see what's happening overnight in our big world of agriculture. Shortly after 6:30, May corn was up 2 cents at 4.56 per bushel. May soybeans were up 3 cents at 11.58 per bushel. May soy meal was 40 cents weaker at 311.80 a short ton. And May soy oil jumped 1.23 cents to 65.17 cents a pound. May wheat markets were mixed in early morning. Chicago Board of Trade wheat was up a quarter cent to 597.5. Kansas City was down a half a penny to 616 per bushel. Minneapolis wheat dropped 10 and a quarter cents to 625 and three quarter cents per bushel. Futures stabilized overnight following Monday's collapse in several markets, including the ag sector. according to Carl Seitzer, partner with Conair's Ag Consulting. The greatest losses were in soybeans with limit declines. Tuesday, we will have expanded limits in the soy complex. This puts soybean limit, daily limit, at a buck and a nickel per bushel. Corn and wheat were also under pressure but did not reach their limits. Export inspections of corn and soybeans were stronger week over week. In 7 days, it ended on March 12th, according to the USDA. Corn inspections totaled 1.65 million metric tons, up from 1.52. However, it's down slightly from the 1.69 million same period last year. Soybean assessments reported at 966,000 metric tons. That's up from 887,000 metric tons the week before, and 300,000 more metric tons than this point last year. Examinations of wheat for offshore delivery fell to 343,000 metric tons. That's down from 498,000 metric tons a week earlier, way down from last year where we did about 500,000 metric tons. Since the start of the marketing year on September 1st, the USDA has an expected 42.86 million metric tons of corn for export. That's up from 30.8 million, same point last year. Corn's going. That's 12 more million metric tons. That's a lot of corn. Soybean inspections since the beginning of September now stand at 28 million metric tons. That's down about 11 million metric tons from last year. Wheat assessments since the start of the grain marketing year last June 1st are now at 19.47 million metric tons versus 16.4 million the year before. According to the National Weather Service, we have a big weather variety going on right now in the U.S. Mostly dry weather with a chance of snow is expected for the Corn Belt, according to the National Weather Service Weather Prediction Center. A swath of light snow will be moving across the northern plains today. The west could see a heat wave with the deep south noted record cold on Tuesday morning. Meanwhile, the northeast is expected a deep cyclone and potent cold front. Hopefully it exits it pretty quick. 100 degrees is the prediction here for this coming Saturday is what they're saying. What do you guys think about this weather going on? Man, we got so much going on. I got so much here. Let me see here. So much to talk about. All right, before we go to break, I'm going to give you an update on some of the hay exports. Alfalfa hay exports to all trade partners totaled 160,218 metric tons in December, according to the USDA's Foreign Ag Service. Even though that was almost on par with December of 24, annual alfalfa hay exports were down significantly in 2025, and I think mainly because of China. Yeah, here we go. China was the largest export market for the U.S. in December with 55,184 metric tons, but they did double that last year. Saudi Arabia followed as the second largest with 38,388 metric tons. Japan and South Korea were almost even at 25,890 metric tons and 24,670. So there you go. All other hay, mostly grass, exports totaled 85,430 metric tons in December. The biggest customer of U.S. grass hay was Japan, then South Korea, and Taiwan. So there you go. Got it going on. Well, if I got time, I want to tell you a little bit about Truticale hay coming up. And I wanted to share this story with you that was written in the Hay and Forage Grower. And I noticed we put our Truticale up really good last year at the farm. And our cows are doing really, really well off that Truticale. Have I had it tested? No, I guess I need to. But even the landlord said, man, the cows look good on that hay. So they've been doing pretty good. Now, I know we had now a totally rough winter compared to normal. But the grass is still dry. So put out the right protein and put out the right hay. Cows look good. So there we go. All right. Well, we're going to take, what is today? Tuesday, Stockman's Vet Clinic. That girl's been busy down there. Let's just take a Stockman's Vet break, and we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op Gin, 720 South Main, Elk City, 225-0191.
You get up before the sun, ready to go to work. Whether it's 35 degrees or 95 degrees outside, you'll spend the next 10 or 12 hours out in it. In the field or in the barn, with the crops or with the cattle. No paid holidays, no paid vacation, no company 401k, but you love it. Napa Auto Parts appreciates what you do for all of us. Agriculture isn't a job, it's a way of life. During National Agriculture Week, Napa wants to shine a light on what you do to make life better for everyone.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, March 9th. 1,575 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 431 brought 567.50. 14 at 456 brought 507.50. 4 at 580 brought 445. 25 at 806 brought 350, 30 at 909 brought 327.50, 5 at 1007 brought 305, 7 head of heifers at 525 brought 417.50, 17 at 599 brought 400, 28 at 655 brought 375, 8 at 719 brought 338, 4 at 804 brought 317.50, 11 at 861 brought 327, 20 at 1022 brought 289, butcher cows were 10 to 183, butcher bulls 130 to 220, bred cows 1650 to 4300, pairs brought 1700 to 4350. Western Oklahoma Livestock, Clinton, Oklahoma sale every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's check out some ag weather out in the Texas Panhandle. Dozier, Texas, 58. Humidity's 15. Dew point's 10. The winds are out of southwest at 23 with wind gust up to 25. Let's see here, 1.05 inches of rain so far in the month of March. Red flag minutes today, 1 minute is what it says. Sub-freezing, 210 minutes, 8-inch soil temperature, 53 degrees. Let's go ahead and do a real rundown, quick rundown on the Central Crop Care Grain Market Update. Kansas City wheat, May is 616, down 9 3/4. Soybeans for May are up 7 at 1162. Corn for May is 453. Soybean meal, it looks like it's down 120 at 311 even. And let's see what cattle are doing today. We got a lot of green going on there. April lives, 234.97, up 172. June is 233.52, up 165. Feeder cattle for March, 359.10, up 365. April, up 467 at 354.52. And May, 350.57, up 502. Well, on the phone with me right now is the world famous Brandon Hickey, big boss at the, not the only boss, but the big boss at the Elk City and Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. What's up, Brandon?
Good afternoon, Jimmy.
How are you?
I'm good, good. I just like everybody else, and like to have a little
day in ag with Jimmy Clark.
Are you there, Brandon?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Keep talking.
Okay. Is it coming? I haven't heard you say, you know, your weather report that it's coming. I'm waiting on you to come. It says it's coming, and if not, I mean, maybe time for another one of them naked rain dances.
Man, I tell you what, Sunday I was a nervous wreck. That's all I can tell you. How about you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am so thankful. I mean, we had some bad fires, but they didn't get huge, didn't get just really out of control. So I'm so thankful for that. That's where that wind was. I just can't hardly fight those things when that wind's like that, crawling it across that grass as fast as that wind can push it. I'm so thankful we didn't, you know, have a big one bust off in that deal, because that sure could have been bad.
Yeah, it could have been. The fire departments did a really good job.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's my hat's off to those people that get out there and do that. And especially the ones on a volunteer basis that's just trying to take care of their friends and neighbors. And I think the last I heard that if you do that for 20 years, the payment's up to almost like $180 a month now after you get 20 years in. So,
yeah, there's a lot going on here, and it's playing. But there's let's start at Elk City Friday.
Yeah, good sale. Maybe just a smidgen cheaper after all the down in the futures market for pretty much two solid weeks. You know, we'd go up. It seemed like on the futures board, we was one step forward and two steps back there for the last 2 weeks now, and maybe yesterday and today we're seeing an end of that. But finally the cash kind of responded a little bit to that. You know, more on the big cattle, but it did finally pour over into the little cattle just a little bit. But still outstanding prices, outstanding market, lots of guys interested, lots of buyers in the market. Had several nice strings of calves and winged cattle, and not very many big cattle at Elk City on Friday, but several nice strings of long winged cattle and calves, and the market was phenomenal, but albeit maybe just a smidgen cheaper on some of the classes. Now there was some classes that was still probably just fully steady with what they had been the week before, but there was some classes just a smidgen cheaper, kind of in response to the, I think a little bit, mostly to the board being down and hard to get those cattle protected back at a good level. But I think maybe also we're seeing a little bit of a pullback because it is getting dry. Starting to, that spring grass prospect is looking and your grazed out wheat prospect as well is looking a little more up in the air, a little bit more questionable, and so a little bit of pullback maybe from the drought, the dry weather, but I think mostly it was due to the just finally a little bit of a response to the futures board dropping off so much for the last couple of weeks.
So do you think any of these drops in the future markets are warrant? I guess is the word. Am I looking?
No, I mean it's really not. I mean it's like you and I have talked about 100 times that it's strictly paper traders and you know, following their emotions and you know, how they're feeling, you know, and they had a little bit of a panic over the war and but more so over the strike that started yesterday at the JBS plant. You know, little bit of a panic there that, you know, kind of have a hard time getting all these things killed. But the thing about it is I mean, the numbers are low. None of these packing houses are running full capacity anyway. Most of them have already cut shifts because there's just not as many cattle out there to kill as normal. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think they're week four last, one of those two weeks, you know, we were short showing a 450,000 head kill for the week, and you know, normal, you know, is up in the 600-620 range. So you know, it's just not as many cattle out there to go around, and it's you know, these plants aren't running full shifts, and from somebody I talked to that said that probably that, you know, JBS is just going to use this as an opportunity to not have to pay their workers and do some plant maintenance and updating that they needed to do anyway. They're just going to, you know, they're going to roll in there and work on the plant, get some stuff updated, some stuff maintenance, some stuff fixed, you know, not going to worry too much about settling this strike until there's a need for it, until there's really a need for that packing plant to be back open. I mean, it's a 5,600 head a day plant. You know, those cattle can be absorbed pretty quickly into the other plants around, you know, albeit it's going to cost more freight, you know, more hauling for some of these Colorado and Western Kansas feed yards are going to be looking at, some more haul, more, freight to get their cattle to a kill plant. But, you know, the fundamentals still haven't changed. We're still short. Numbers are getting tighter. I did hear some rumblings today that, I think they're getting worried enough about how short of these grazed out cattle we may be. There's some rumblings that we may see the border open in the next 30, 45 days. So, and it's not, you know, it's more of a response to numbers getting tight, and more, chattering from the people in the industry than it is to, anything at all to do with the new world screw worm. I mean, it's, you know, we're about to get into a situation where the powers that be that are in authority just feel like we've got to have some relief and some cattle up here to offset these low numbers. And so it's going to be this is a necessary thing. You know, we've been short, but we haven't, you know, I don't think we've been quite as short as what looks like we're going into here in the next 3 or 4 months. You know, I think that our April, May, June receipts, without the Mexican border opening, I think our April, May, June receipts placements are going to be significantly lower coming up here. I just don't think there's a lot of cattle out there on graze outs. I'm sure not the normal numbers that there normally is. And if it don't go rain, and you know, those cattle are going to get pulled forward, we're going to end up with more of them in March instead of the April, May, June, which is going to just make April, May, June that much shorter. So I think this may almost be, you know, they may open the border purely out of, you know, self-defense to keep this thing from getting so unmanageable on the numbers and the price.
Well, but even if they do open the border, they still got to fatten them cattle up.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. The only thing it's really going to affect is, and still, again, you know, we're talking about 2%, you know, cattle up at our numbers by 2%. So, you know, all it's going to do is maybe take some of them Texas feedlots that are out of the market on local feeder cattle. The vast majority of them haven't been able to compete anyway, so it's probably going to change very, very little. The northern feed yards, very few of them want to mess with the Mexican cattle. They're going to continue to dip into the local market, the native cattle market, and they're the ones getting most of them anyway. You know, I've seen 1 week out of the last probably eight that the southern yards were buying more cattle out of one of my barns than the northern yards were. So we're not going to see very little change. I mean, it may keep this thing from absolutely exploding, but, you know, in all reality, you know, to keep beef from becoming a luxury item, we may need to keep this thing from absolutely exploding. And, you know, and we sure don't want any more of those feedlots going out of business because they can't get cattle or they can't compete with cattle, you know.
No,
that 2% of Mexican, 2% of our numbers, adding 2% to our numbers with Mexican cattle very well may be necessary here coming up this next 90 days because maybe better once we get into July that, you know, there's quite a few cattle that's went out on grass or that is going out on grass that, you know, that'll help some coming up in July. But, man, I just and I may be completely and totally wrong, but I just don't see that. It just sure looks like to me these April, May, June placements may be pretty hard to come by unless they open the border. And even then, I'm not sure that, you know, I'm not sure they can get them across fast enough to really, you know, up those places.
A Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Yeah, hey, Brandon, let's take a break real quick. I need to take a break anyway. Right. And I'll get right back with you.
Okay, sounds great.
Cylinders. Sometimes they know what's the matter with it. If it's leaking, they'll bring it in. If they just need a seal kit, you tear it completely apart. Replace all the rubber goods that's in the cylinder. Well, my name is Roy Jones, and everybody in Elk City knows me by Bird. And this is Camrock Supply, Elk City, Oklahoma.
It's 2111 South Main, south of Fred's Steakhouse.
I've known them guys for years and years, and they know what I'm capable of doing.
Kent Watkins here with SEI Agritech in Elk City. Are you looking for the best nutrition for your herd? We proudly carry Mixed 30 liquid feed, Forco horse supplements, and can blend proven products to keep your livestock healthy and productive. Stop by today and let us help you choose the right feed solutions for your operation. And to our neighbors in Texas, we can sell to you and welcome your business. Stop by or call us today at SEI Agritech on South Randall in Elk City and follow us on Facebook.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. 92. They come to you.
You don't want to let your cotton set in the field day after day waiting to be ginned. Now to better serve you, the cotton farmers in Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, Lone Star Gin has processed over 540,000 bales of cotton. They've got locations in Pampa, Texas, and now in Burns Flat, Oklahoma. Lone Star Gin has the ability to process over 2,400 bales per day. All they do is gin cotton. Go to LoneStarGin.com for more information, and you can find them on Facebook.
Valley Center pivots are the most durable and reliable you can find. But when you do need replacement parts, your operation deserves the best. Valley Genuine Parts. Knutson Irrigation has been serving growers since 1981, and their experienced service technicians stand behind every part in their fully stocked warehouse. They also service other pivot brands. So when you need fast service and reliable parts, you need Knutson Irrigation. Call them for service or visit KnutsonIrrigation.com for more info.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, we're back. Brandon, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, cool. So we're back to Elk City Livestock, but let's finish up our deal on the Mexican cattle deal. I noticed that the over the last 3 months, the corn sales exports to Mexico have came way up and from normal. And then, of course, they're feeding cattle down there. So, but, you know, you read the report from some of the ranchers and some of the business owners over there in Arizona and that area. And, you know, the local farmers around there that were growing crops for the feedlots over there that house the Mexican cattle, you know, they're hurting now. And rightfully, they're griping, and rightfully so. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be. And so, a lot going on down there along the border now. It's kind of so sinking in that they've lost a lot of business, not only from the beef side of it, but from supplying products to feed those beef.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting coming up. I mean, they sure the source that got a hold of me shared some information with me today said there was quite a bit of activity going on at a couple of them crossing stations, especially the two there in Santa Teresa, New Mexico, and Douglas, Arizona. You know, sure acting like that they lots of activity, a lot more activity than there's been for several months, and they sure feel like that you know we're looking at an imminent opening of it. But like I say, it may be necessary at this point. I mean, you know, I'd really like to think that you know we could be totally self-sufficient and you know not need to import any cattle or any beef or anything, but you know the fact of the matter remains, you know, we've talked about it before, our quality is just so good, and you know to keep the prices just, you know, somewhat manageable for the consumer, I mean you just almost have to get a certain amount of imports of cattle and beef to just keep it, you know, and the goal is always going to be, you know, keep more producers in the business, more feedlots in the business, more stocker operators in the business. I mean, the more of those we got in the business, the better competitive marketing business that we've got, the more free enterprise market that we got, the less of them you've got, the less of a free enterprise, less of a free and open market that you've got, you know, and that's what we're seeing in the packer side right now. You know, it's just not enough of them to compete. They're also regionalized and we don't want that to happen on down the chain and further streamline the industry. We really like to see that, you know, where everybody makes a decent amount of money, everybody makes a little money throughout the deal, from the cow calf guy to the stocker operators to the feedlots and the packers as well. But you know, the packers are going to get theirs because they've got just so much leverage with just not enough of them for competition. So.
What's coming up Elk City this Friday? What do you got coming in?
We have got a really nice set of cows coming down from Kansas. Mostly young, maybe a few middle-aged cows on them, but be mostly kind of 3, 4, 5-year-old cows, middle to heavy bred. Be sure enough nice. Mostly black moths, there will be a few red Angus cows on them. I've got a really nice set of yearlings coming from over at the Leedy area. They've been long weaned and mostly black moths on that deal. Be a really nice set. Several other little small consignments of calves and small consignments of big yearlings. It'll be a good run. Probably similar to the kind of numbers that we've run the last couple of weeks, but we will have a really nice set of take-home cows coming out of Kansas to offer for people looking for some.
All right. Well, I had something come up Friday, and I had to go do it, and I didn't get back over. I sold a heifer out of my pasture over here west of Elk, so I had to meet the gentleman and load him up, and I didn't get to go by there and see what's her name, Cousin Kay. What's her name? so was any excitement going on in the sale barn without me there the other day?
Oh yeah, we had some excitement. It wasn't good excitement necessarily, but we did have a little excitement. Had a gentleman that had been asking me for a job, and I allowed him to pull our gate there Friday, letting the cattle in, and he got a little dehydrated and collapsed on us about 2/3 of the way through.
Oh, bummer.
He's all good now. He was there yesterday. Showed up yesterday at the other sale barn at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, wanting to know if he still had his job on Friday. That he assured me he wouldn't allow himself to get dehydrated like that again, where that would happen.
No, you know what? It's easy to do, and it's real easy to do. So before we go down a highway to Western Oklahoma, there's been a couple of challenges put out between the Cotton King and the Goober King.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go.
Between the Cotton King and the Goober King, and we need to do that. But we also had a challenge put out that the Cattle King, which is you, to come back and join Jimmy and Jimmy in the show ring down there at Warsaw County.
Okay.
And we're going to show a pig, a goat, and a steer next year.
Okay.
And we're talking about having some costumes, which Rhodes told me he wasn't wearing nothing but his overalls, so I figured we're going to throw a bunch of glue on him and throw a bunch of cotton balls on him. And then maybe the same thing with me with peanuts, you know. And so I don't know what we're going to do with you besides either that, throw a bunch of cow poop on you.
I'm liable to have that on me anyway.
Huh?
I'm liable to have that on me anyway.
Well, I'm fixing this deal. All right, so let's go down to the highway to Western Oklahoma. Let's talk about it.
Yep, yeah, good sale yesterday, good run. Lots of good fancy home raised cattle. Vast majority of our run was good fancy home raised cattle coming off the wheat pasture. Weighed, you know, anywhere from 650. Majority of the run anywhere from 650 to almost 1,000 pounds. The calf offering and the cow offering both was pretty slim there yesterday. But we had 1,520 head total in that. You know, gosh, probably, you know, 1,400 of them or close to it was, you know, 650 to 1,000 pound yearlings. And like I say, the vast majority of them, good home raised stock and they was, market was phenomenal. We fortunately, got a little up day in the market there yesterday and I think encouraged everybody and got some good buying power in there. And it was good. And probably, I would say that we were probably fully steady with the week before on all the cattle, you know, and which we was concerned about that, you know, we might see a further drop the way that futures board had been going, but we got a little bump there Monday, and we was probably fully steady, and there was some classes of cattle that you know, with some condition that would have been actually higher there yesterday, but a very light calf run, very light cow run, but man, did we have some good home raised yearlings to sell.
Yeah, I bet so. Man, if we just get a shower, I think if we can get a rain in the next week, we can save this wheat. And
yeah.
I think, but I'm seeing a lot of blue wheat out there. And also I needed to pass this on to the listeners anyway. If you're seeing some yellow spots out in your wheat right now, it's probably wheat mites from what I've been hearing from the experts. So keep an eye out on for that. And keep
one more thing to worry about.
One more thing to worry about. I know it really is one more thing to worry about. Hey, and you know, I didn't mention to you I don't know if you heard, but just because of you, we have Heyday Wednesdays now instead of Heyday Tuesdays.
Well, I'm sorry, not sorry, I guess.
it's important we get the hay moving because, you know, this hay market deal is, it might start changing if we don't get a rain.
Yeah, oh yeah, it sure will. Absolutely.
And there's no doubt about it because not everybody's got irrigation. So
that's right.
And
that's right.
And so that this hay market, it definitely might be changing. So what do you have? You had 1,520 over there Monday, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yep. Let's see here. I see there's the heifers. I'm kind of the heifers are staying just rock solid, it looks like to me.
Yeah, you know, we've had a lot of replacement heifer buyers on the last four Mondays now. We've got to send a fair amount of our very front-end heifers have got to go back to the country. And that continued this Monday. You know, this make four Mondays now that, you know, I've probably sent more heifers, big heifers coming off wheat back to the country in the last 4 weeks than I have in any other given four-week time period, you know, since I've owned that barn. There's just been a lot of them bought and go back out, and which we needed. I'm glad to see it. Didn't know if we was ever going to get started or not, but, it does appear that the heifer retention has started, or at least guys wanting to buy some and get, you know, turn some out and get some bred and have them for offering next spring, either as bred heifers or possibly pairs. So glad to see that. Had some really nice heifers again. I know that there was a half a load of black heifers that went to the country. Maybe ended up being full load of black heifers, and then there was a full load of red Angus heifers that went back to the country. That'll be they're going to get bred up for you and have them on offer for you here coming up sometime in the next 4 months to a year, just depending on what the program is. So excited to see about that, and that's helped. It was a good time for them guys to get in with a little bit of depressed market, because they sure got an opportunity to buy them a little bit cheaper than they would have a month and a half ago. But that also having several of them involved has kept that heifer, just like you said, kept that heifer deal pretty rock solid and going pretty good. And the cattle kind of seven and under are staying. They're really staying pretty rock solid all across the board, especially on the steers, staying pretty rock solid there. You know, they're really the only dip that we've seen is them cattle, kind of 775 and up. Those cattle, have seen a little dip the last couple of weeks, but it didn't continue this week, and we were pretty steady with the week before. So glad to see that. And like I say, hopefully maybe this thing's going to stabilize. I'm pretty concerned that we may be going to run it down as far as we did back there in December. But it's maybe, we've had two up days, two green days in a row here. So maybe we're stabilizing. Maybe we're going to not continue to run this thing down. And we'll see if they do make an announcement about opening the Mexican border. That'll be the next thing that the paper traders will have to make up their mind about. Is that scary or is that okay because our numbers are getting tight as they are anyway? So.
Right. Yeah, between the Mexican border deal, now the heifer retention, I wouldn't say it's 100% in full swing. You're taking that many more cattle out of the market, like you said, and then there's already a shortage going on. And so, you know what I tell people on my show? I know people that sell beef around here. Might be a good time to buy some.
Yep.
Because while it's affordable, I guess. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just one of those danged if you do, danged if you don't deal. And I think, Brandon, I got to go and take my last break here in just a few minutes, but I think your daughter's not talking to me.
Oh, yeah. Well, she got, she didn't appreciate us teasing her a little bit about that wanting your job there last week, and I still think you let her off the hook way too quick, but she was starting to get over it a little bit there yesterday when I talked to her, and she's really wanting, she's really thinking that she would like for us to, you and I, to play you and her's podcast that you did, and then stop and comment on it as it goes. She requested that we consider doing that sometime here in the future. So I'll leave that out there, that she threw that out there, that she wants to play your
her famous In a Small Town podcast that she did with you for one of her capstone projects there at Oklahoma State, and she wants to play that and then us pause it and comment on it as we go through it. So
you take an early lunch next Tuesday, since I don't have Hay Day Tuesdays anymore, and maybe towards the end of the deal we'll play that.
All right.
Yeah. Is this like trying to get even with her, or just get her to talk to me?
Yeah, we're just trying to, you know, peace offering.
Well, her red hair showed in that deal on that text message she got me. Woo! So we'll have to see how her genetics are operating once you and I talk about it next week. How's that?
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Well, Brandon, thanks. I'll probably see you Friday.
All right. Sounds good, Jimmy. Oh, yeah. Actually, you won't see me. We're actually leaving, taking Nate. We're leaving tomorrow. We're headed to Tucson to take Nate on a big shooting deal for his senior year.
Headed
to Tucson, Arizona to shoot. So I will actually be absent this Friday.
Charge?
Yeah, Emma. Not my Emma, but Emma Mullins.
Oh, you scared me for a second.
Yeah. Emma Mullins.
All right. Yeah. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you.
See ya.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
When I was a little kid, I didn't realize what this does. It's helping people. It's helping people memorialize their loved ones. When you lose someone, you want to keep their memory alive. And this is a good way of doing it. The monument is really not there for the people that have passed away. It's there for all the generations that come after them to learn a little bit more about their heritage. And yes, in some cases, yes, they want to tell the whole world how wonderful this person was. It thrills us whenever we get the thank you cards back or whatever, however they decide to contact us through emails or text or whatever. It's really heartwarming to know we nailed it. We got it for them. They did it. And we hear a lot of that. The name of our company is Willis Granite Products. And our website is willisgranite.com. I can't think of anything better to help people.
Well, it's a peace of mind to know that you have tires that will get you to your destination and back without any trouble. It's never fun to be on the side of the road because, well, I was going to get those when I got back from this trip. Go ahead and do it before. Try to eliminate the issue. Every day, I mean, they're like, well, I was planning on getting them when I got back. I was just going to make one more trip. The 3-hour drive ended up taking us 12 hours to get there and an extra $500, a tow truck, and just your time. And they see that you're stranded, they're probably going to take advantage of you to an extent. Buy a $100 tire and you had to pay $250 for it. Was either that or keep sitting there. They're not going to do that. It just makes it so much more stressful for something that could have been eliminated. Peace of mind is tremendous. L&R Tire,
the home of Bridgestone Firestone Tires.
1204 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma. 225-TIRE. 225-8473. We know how important your car is to you.
Hey folks, this is EJ Gredeman with ASCO Equipment out of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you need rental equipment, I got your back. From excavators to wheel loaders, telehandlers, and forklifts, we rent the brands that you know and trust. With flexible terms, responsible service, and expert support, we're here to keep your job on track. Need equipment? We're on it here at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com or stop by our Elk City branch, 513 West 20th here in Elk City, Oklahoma, or you can just give me a call, 580-243-9233. Appreciate it, folks, and y'all have a blessed day.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling, someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
The McIntyre Red Angus Partners in Progress Bull and Female Sale is Monday, March 30th at Sweetwater.
featuring over 70 registered Angus bulls, 40 commercial Red Angus pairs, and 100 commercial Red Angus open heifers. View the sale online at cci.live. For sale information, go to mcintyreredangus.com. A lot of great cattle are for sale near Sweetwater the last Monday in March. The McIntyre Red Angus Partners in Progress Bull and Female Sale is Monday, March 30th at 1 p.m. at Sweetwater.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's check out what's happening at Mountain View. 60 degrees, dew point's 12, humidity is 15, winds are out of southwest at 21, wind gust up to 28, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 57 degrees, sunset at 7:45, breezy and 71 degrees today, 42 tonight, tomorrow, mostly sunny. Tomorrow's going to be a beautiful day. Might be time to go crappie fishing. 82 degrees and light winds. Either they might be out of the southwest or might be out of the northeast compared to this forecast. So, in other words, probably southwest in the morning, northeast tomorrow afternoon. How's that? Man, when that front comes in like that and it's not a strong one, and those fish start moving around, you never know. You might get a hold of somebody. I'm going to save my Truticale segment I was going to do on Truticale hay for tomorrow, since tomorrow's Heyday Wednesday is brought to you by Great Plains Bank. I wanted to share what's happening, what the NOAA and the CPC are thinking about the El Nino watch, is what they're calling it. 62% chance of arrival on this this summer. But according to this, what he says, but Drew Lerner warns extreme forecasts might be overblown. That's the first time I've heard about weather being overblown. Farmers are keeping a close eye on the Pacific as La Nina, which has dominated weather patterns across much of 2026, begins to give away to El Nino. I call it the El Nino. The National Weather Service Climate Prediction Center, the CPC, now reports a La Nina persisted through February with below average sea surface temperatures across the east central part of the equator of the Pacific. However, rising subsurface ocean temperatures and weakening trade winds signal a likely shift to El Nino. Let's call it El Nino. El Nina by this summer, potentially bringing dramatic changes to rainfall, planting conditions, and crop development across the U.S. CPC says that means the U.S. that is now under El Nina watch, forecasting a 62% chance that it will emerge between June and August, and in continuing through 2026. But the event's ultimate strength remains uncertain. So, in other words, they don't know. There's also a 1 in 3 chance this could become a strong El Nino during October to December, the CPC notes, underscoring the unpredictability farmers must plan around this year. The transition from La Nina to El Nino could have major implications for spring planting season in the Midwest, the Central Plains, and the Southeast, where early dryness or shifting is going on. And so we'll see how that works out. But it says some meteorologists are saying there are signs that there could be an extremely strong El Nino event. Drew Lerner, president of World Weather, cautions that that strong of a declaration. He don't see that yet. So what do we do now? Is La Nina making a quick exit? He says that the current ocean subsurface warming is in the early trigger for El Nina, which has far-reaching effects on weather patterns worldwide. So while they are predicting a 62% chance of El Nina forming by late summer, Lerner warns several factors could shift or delay that, making early season planning more complex. That's all we need, more complex. There are a number of factors that could change the forecast quite a bit. The Climate Prediction Center modified its official forecast from the raw data model data. If you go to their website, you'll see the actual forecast from their models suggests El Nino could be here in May, maybe even late April. The Australian Bureau of Meteorology also suggests it could begin in May or June. So, guess it's whoever your favorite meteorologist is who you could believe. So, how strong could this El Nino be? Farmers are concerned about the potential strength of this El Nino, given its impact on rainfall and drought risk and crop yields. In 1998, we had a really strong one that was disastrous, but it wasn't predicted to be ended up being. This year is unprecedented, so here we go. So I guess we're going to find out, huh? Okay. Everything's working here in the studio for me today. Guess we'll see you guys tomorrow. Remember, Hay Day Wednesdays tomorrow, brought to you by Great Plains Bank. You got hay to sell. The whole works. Get it all to me for tomorrow or get it to me tomorrow. You guys have a great day. Today's show brought to you by First National Bank and Trust, Elk City, Sayre, Oklahoma.